Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, March the 29th, 2013. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on the Spirit of Compromise. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Well, Lord, are you sure you said tear down that altar? Oh, God, they're going to get mad. I have to die to my flesh to that, don't I? You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed me. What is this you've done? Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare to you. Verse 7, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord which he had done. And verse 10, and all but that generation were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done. Verse 11, then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Now, over and over, if you read in Judges, you see how the children of Israel would serve the Baals, but if they had a leader, they did good. The minute the leader died, the judge died, they'd go back to worshiping Baal. Nowadays in the church, this fire thing, this fire God, these fire, and there's a true fire God that cleanses you, purifies you like refiner soap. But a lot of these places that are hollering fire, it's to Baal the fire God. These are prophets of Baal. They're still around, folks. So make sure whatever kind of fire, if you don't come away purified, you've got the wrong kind. Okay, and so they kept on, they'd go back to their false gods, and then they'd have a leader, then they'd do good, and then they'd go back, and over and over and over, they would keep going back to Baal. And you can read it all, but I'm not going to read it all. And so, I want to read this. In verse 13, so they forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Asherah. And the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he gave them into the hands of plunderers who plundered them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies around them so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Now, we're living in days, if you want to be plundered, you just better hang on to your gods because you're going to be plundered. If you don't get rid of your false gods, you will be plundered. And you'll be turned over into the hands of your enemies. You know, we see all this stuff happening in America, and we're thinking, oh, dear God, what are they going to do to us next? We better get our life right with the Lord, and then we're not going to be plundered. We've got God's protection for His purposes and His kingdom. Wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had spoken and as the Lord had sworn to them. So they were severely distressed. You know what they... If you do a word study on distress, you know what it means? Stress. If you say, well, I'm just stressed out. Well, you're stressed out because you're in distress because of the demons, because you need to repent. Amen? Distress and stress are the same thing. It says in Isaiah 5, he's going to remove the hedge and they'll become trampled ground and there'll be a cry of distress when he removes the hedge. And yet they did not listen to their judges, for they played the harlot after other gods and bowed themselves down to them. They turned aside quickly from the way in which their fathers had walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do as their fathers. And then in all of this, you read God's mercy. God kept giving them judges to get them straight, to back off the enemy. Over and over, you see God's mercy in all of this and how merciful He's been to us. And, you know, I used to read that and I think, I can't believe the children of Israel do that. We're just like them. I'm serious. If there's not something, if there's not an obstacle in our lives, we just get so complacent. And you know what? God puts these obstacles in our life to train us to reign in eternity, to teach us to war. Okay, over and over they kept doing this. Verse 22. Well, let's go to 20. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and had not listened to my voice, I also will no longer drive out them before any of these nations which Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel. Now, this is why God allows obstacles in your circumstances to test you and me, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in it as their fathers did. Now, God knows if we're going to follow him or not, but we need to know when we get tested what we're standing for. It says, so the Lord allowed those nations to remain, not driving them out quickly, because he says he's going to drive them out little by little. Sanctification is a process little by little, and it takes a lifetime. Jesus did it all at Calvary, but we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It says, not driving them out quickly, and he did not give them into the hands of Joshua. In other words, Joshua was safe. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to test Israel by them. That is, all who had not experienced any of the wars of Canaan. Only in order that the generation of the sons of Israel might be taught war. You see that? He leaves the obstacles in your life to teach you to war. Our problem is our focus has been wrong. We've been warring against the turkeys in our life. We've been warring against the negative, difficult people. But God says, hey, your enemy is not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. So God leaves the obstacles for you to see how you're going to respond, evil or good, righteous or unrighteous, holy or unholy, bitter or better. That encouraged me. This passage of Scripture has really changed my life to see, hey, I have these obstacles to teach me to war, and I've been in a war and not showing up concerning my eyes or concerning me, because I would just repent of everything. So I'd repent, and I'm still repenting, and I still believe in repentance, and I'm still going to keep repenting by God's grace. But I am seeing that I've been in a war and not showing up. It's kind of like I've been like a boxer standing in the ring, allowing allergy, allowing eye problems, because I've been like a boxer standing in the ring that tells the other boxer, hit me, hit me, hit me, hit me. And so God really used Carla in the ladies' retreat to really teach me about that I needed to stand. Anyway, I'm seeing a difference in my life since I've been doing that. But God, all of the negative things in your life, the things that stress you out, the things that break your heart, the things that hurt you, God leaves those things in to make you mighty for him. Depending on how you respond will depend on whether or not it makes you bitter or better. And the more you go through, the more you pass the test, the more anointing God's going to put in your life. Wow. Hallelujah. In verse, but they kept doing this over and over and over. But God left them there to teach you to war. And you read all of Joshua 2, 3, even 6. And everything we go through is a test to see how we're going to respond in a righteous way or an unrighteous way. And I'm sure that you could say with me, many, many more times than not, I've responded in an unrighteous way. So God, give us the grace to have your perspective in all that we go through. And so I shared with you the first night, when you've forgiven somebody and you say the words, I forgive, and you've repented and took the logs out of your eyes, everything you know, and the tormenting thoughts keep coming about a person, certain that they did this, well, they did that, well, they said this, well, they were rude, well, they were mean, well, they were. God, next time that happens, that's my clue to start doing warfare. That's my clue after I've repented, took accountability, dealt with my sin. That's my clue to do a deliverance on them long distance. Amen? And because, see, they're just bound up. They're just full of demons, wounds, hurts. They're just people that need Jesus. And we need to grow. I need to grow up. We need to grow up and maturely, with maturity, handle the situation that God would want us to. I had failed the test, but I want to pass it from this day forward. Jeremiah 1:10. I'm sorry I'm going a little longer, but I got to finish this. Okay, go. Jeremiah 1:10. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations. And that means foreign nations, a people, a troop of animals, a flight of locusts. Now, there are enemies right now in this country. There are military, foreign military people in this country right now. God says He has appointed us this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, which means tear down, break down, bear down, cast down. You see, if they take your bombs and your bullets and your guns, hey, that'll get you killed. You got to use spiritual warfare because our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty to God. For the tearing down of strongholds, to destroy and to overthrow, to pull down, which means to pull down in pieces, break and destroy. To build means to build literally and figuratively, to build up, obtain children, spiritual children, make, repair, set, and to plant, which is to strike in, fix, specifically plant. So God has appointed us over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up, pull down, destroy, and overthrow. And then to build and plant. And recently the Lord is showing me when I'm saying, Lord, I pull up my problems, I pull them down, I destroy them, I overthrow them, and I loose your angels to build and plant new eyes. Or to build and plant whatever needs a restored home, a relationship. And so God says, are not the angels, ministering spirits, sent to help and care for those who receive His salvation? And then the word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. Psalms 103, it says, bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who watches over His word to perform it. And Frank talked last night about our negative words. The demons watch over Satan's word to perform it. You confess negatively, and the demons watch over it. But you confess the word of God. We overcome by the word of God, the blood of Jesus, and the word of our testimony, and don't leave off. And we love not our life even to death. That goes with that verse. So die into your flesh, speak in the word of God, the word of our testimony, and use in the mighty name of Jesus, that name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for Jesus Christ has spoiled principalities and powers, making an open show of them, triumphing over them at the cross. And says, the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot. But I'm going to drop down to verse 16. I will pronounce my judgment on them concerning all their wickedness, whereby they have forsaken me and have offered sacrifices to other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. Now gird up your loins and arise and speak to them all which I command you. Do not be dismayed. Means don't prostrate yourself before their demons. To break down by violence or by confusion or fear. Don't be terrorized by them. Now behold, I have made you today as a fortified city and a pillar of iron. and as a walls of bronze against the whole land, to the kings of Judah, to its princes, to its priests, and to the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. You see why we can't compromise? You see why we have to speak God's word and love not our life, even to death? Now in Jeremiah 2, and I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to tell you the sins that the children of Israel committed in Jeremiah 2, and that we've committed. Jeremiah 2, 1 through 37. Because of their idolatry and their harlotry, and because of our idolatry and our harlotry, our idols are, you've got to love me, you've got to value me, you've got to listen to me, you've got to point me, you've got to speak to me, you've got to love me, you've got to cherish me, you've got to meet my needs, you've got to. That's our idols. And so because of idolatry, God says, I see my people like a camel, a wild camel in the desert, and like a wild ass in the wilderness in their time of heat. I see you as a camel in heat, as a wild ass in heat. Now, a wild camel means he traverses. He's restless, he's twisting, looking for somebody to mate with. A camel will urinate on his back legs, and then his tail, he'll swish it back over him. He puts out a stench. There's glands up around the top of his head that puts forth a foul-smelling substance. And a camel, when they're ready to heat, after they do all the swishing of the urine and all that, they bow down for the male to come and breed with them. And then he said the wild ass. A wild donkey in heat, looking for a mate to get relief. The body temperature is raised. There are occasions so she widely opens her nostrils and to get air in order to cool herself. She is ferociously dangerous and only calms down when a male comes to mate, depicting God's people as looking for somebody to commit spiritual adultery with, or spiritual harlotry, not just sexual sin. It speaks of a barren land rather than green pastures. Wild donkeys and camels live in places that are barren. Job 6:5 says, doth an ass bray when he has grass? It's a well-fed, silent, gentle, and calm. He's well-fed, gentle, and calm when there's grass. So a loud, noisy donkey is somebody that's in a place of deprivation. The Bible says that God gives homes to the lonely. He sets free those who are his prisoners, but only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. Okay, here are some of the sins, and you can read the whole thing, but I just took them out. They loved their brotherels, the places where they committed adultery. They found God to be unjust. They went far, and because of time, as I'm saying this, be repenting in your heart, okay? Because then I won't have to go through the list again. Okay, they loved their brotherels. They found God to be unjust. They went far from him and walked after emptiness. They did not seek him or appreciate all he had done for them. They defiled his land. They made his inheritance an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handled his law did not know him. Rulers transgressed against him. The prophets prophesied by Baal. If they're not teaching repentance and they're not teaching holiness and righteousness and you to repent of your sin, you have heard a false prophet. Because every prophet from Jesus to him, Jesus was God. But every prophet preached that men repent of their sin. The prophets prophesied by Baal. They walked after things they did not profit. Oh God, have we done this? The nation changed gods, exchanged their glory for that which was not profit. Forsook him, the living fountain of living waters, hewed for themselves cisterns that wouldn't hold water. That's our idols. They don't hold water. They don't help us. They forsook the Lord, drinking waters of the Nile and Euphrates, worldly, seeking worldly methods, no fear of God, refused to serve, laid down as the harlot on every high hill and under every green tree. you've laid down as a harlot. Exchange the true vine for a degenerate shoot of a foreign vine. What the Lord showed me through this is whenever we get born again, we get regenerated, right? Well, these people degenerated. And that could be a root and is a root for macular degeneration. Amen? The strain of your iniquity is before me. Even though you go through the motions to clean yourself up, the stain of your iniquity is before me. You're like a swift young camel entangling her ways, a wild donkey accustomed to the wilderness that sniffs the wind in her passion. You're sought out and found in the month of heat. Unshod feet. See, a part of the armor is to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. God wants us walking in peace. When we lose our peace, we got a system problem. Unshod feet, thirst because of no word. Love strangers, idols, and after them I will stubbornly and rebellious walk, turn their back on the Lord. Kings, priests, princes, and prophets say to a tree, you gave me birth. Turn their back and not their face, contend with God and transgress the law, would not receive discipline. His discipline was in vain. Have you ever tried to correct somebody that was a spiritual harlot? Had their knowledge of God was in their head, but you're trying to correct them to help them because you love them, and they won't receive discipline? The Bible says the harlot wipes her mouth and said, I haven't done anything wrong. It's always your fault. That's also Jezebel. Also, and you know, men, there's many men Jezebels as there are women Jezebels. Jezebel is an antichrist spirit. You know you've met up with Antichrist or Jezebel when you try to give somebody the truth and they, yeah, but I don't really believe that. How many of you have heard that? Over and over and over. It doesn't matter what I believe or you believe. It matters what God says. You're so bad you even teach the wicked women your ways, and that's the harlots. Because you would not teach my people to repent, you've taken them as bloodshed. In your harlot skirts is the lifeblood of the innocent poor. You go to every measure to find love, jump through any hoops in all the wrong places. You forgot God days without number. You say you're innocent. Surely his anger is turned away from me. I'm saved by grace, and praise God we are. But there's a perverted grace out there that don't believe anybody can even ever have a sin. Oh, my goodness. It'll destroy you. You're a compromiser. Verse 36 says, why do you go around so much changing your ways? The consequences of these sins, it says in Jeremiah here, guilt, you become a prey, the young lions have roared against you, made your land a waste, that's the demons, cities destroyed without inhabitants, the enemy has shaved your head, means you have no covering anymore because God's your authority and your authority is a false one. You will be corrected by your own wickedness and reproved by your apostasies, you're falling away. Evil and bitterness to befall you, tiredness and weariness, wore out, wore to a frazzle. How many of you just say, I'm just tired? I know so many people that just say, I'm just so tired all the time. Well, the Bible says in Acts, I believe it's Acts chapter 5, repent so times of refreshing will come in the presence of the Lord. When you cry out for your God to save you, your demons can't because they're false gods. You're desolate, hopeless. You'll go out with your hands on your head. That sounds like one world order. You see the importance of not compromising in the days we're living in? Our only protection will be God protecting us and us walking under His anointing, speaking His word, denying ourselves, giving up our life, and the word of our testimony. Rejected by those you're trusting in. All your idols are going to turn on you, and you won't prosper. Jeremiah 4:1 says, if you will return, O Israel, O church, declares the Lord, then you should return to me. And if you will put away your detestable things from my presence and will not waver, And you will swear as the Lord lives, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness. Then the nations will bless themselves in you, him, and in him they will glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to the Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskins of your heart. Men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or else my wrath will come forth like a fire and burn with none to quench it. Judges 6, Gideon is another person who risked his life to obey the Lord. He destroyed his father's idols. And that would be something you'd say, well, he was a real rebel. But God said, it was basically he was going to God saying, why are the children of Israel getting whipped? And God said, get rid of the idols. And then, oh, that's such a wonderful story, but I'm not going to read it. But there's a principle here of obedience. God told him to, he said, oh, valiant man of war. And he went, can't you just see him? Look around. Well, who are you talking to? Anyway, he did what the Lord told him. And then the men of the city were going to come forth and they were going to kill Gideon. And Gideon's father defended him. It was his idols that he tore down. And of course, later Gideon turned back to idols. But the story went, God said, if you're afraid, go and sit outside the camp of the Midianites and listen. And when he listened, he heard the Midianites, two of the men, say that they had had a dream and that Gideon was going to take them over, destroy them. So it gave Gideon faith. So he goes back and just with lamps and trumpets, they marched around the Midianite camp with lamps and with torches. They didn't have to worry about the One World Order taking their guns. They marched around the camp and then the camp started fighting among themselves. Glory to God. Because you know what? Those that are with you are more than this with them. Amen. Remember, that's what was it, Elijah? And so Jesus said he was the light of the world. And then Isaiah 12:13, now therefore here is the king whom you've chosen, whom you have asked for, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and listen to his voice and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you, that's the authority over you, will follow the Lord your God. If you will not listen to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Even now, take your stand and see what the Lord will do for your eyes. Jesus said he was the light of the world, and he told his disciples, he said, you disciples are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father is in heaven. You know, when we compromise and we compromise with darkness, guess what? It's like turning the light off. There's no light. So to keep the light on, there may be a spiritual war. There will be a spiritual war to keep the light on, but light expels darkness, doesn't it? Isaiah 49:2-3 said, he's made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he's concealed me, and he's made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. Can't you see God says that your mouth is a sharp sword? He's hidden you in his quiver. Just can't you see a quiver with arrows in it? Just to pull that arrow at, just when the Holy Spirit tells you to shoot, only as led by the Holy Spirit. He's concealed me, and you are concealed, and he's made you a select arrow, and he's hidden me in his quiver. You know, we don't want to be a sharp arrow. You know, we don't want to be the mean guy. We want everybody to love us. We moan and groan. You know what? We should expect it. Speaking the word of God burns demons, and it's like a fire and a hammer that breaks rock. God says you're salt and light. Light heals, it enhances, it flavors, it cures, it mends. And it says if you're salt that lost its flavor, you will be trampled by men. Maybe that's why we've been being trampled, you think? You know that you've lost your salt when you crave salt. That's one thing the Lord showed me years ago. When we lose, and so Lord, we ask you to give us our salt back. So we can mend, cure, enhance, flavor, and heal people. Fear quenches the light. And by our choice of compromise, we switch off the light. Light scatters darkness. God tells us to come out from among them and be separate. So he'll show us how to do that if we're supposed to draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he'll exalt you. You are the light of the world. It says in Matthew 13 that in the end times, the saints will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. In Daniel, it says that if you lead the many to repentance. I'm just going to read this one, and then we're going to close with that scripture. If I can find it. Well, it's in the book of Daniel. I think it's Daniel 12. But it says that if we lead the many to righteousness, we will shine like the stars in heaven. Oh, Lord, we want to be stars that shine. Amen. Okay, stand up and let's ask the Lord to show you everything you need to repent of. You've probably already seen a lot of things like I did when God gave me this message. But, Father, I ask you to search my heart and test my thoughts. And, God, I ask you to show me every place I have compromised. Every place that I've been being trampled because of the salt that lost the saltiness. I ask you to show me what I need to repent of for you to restore the salt in my life and to help my unbelief. Father, search me in Jesus' name. Just repent of everything the Lord shows you and then just sit down when you're through, and we're going to go to lunch late. And I'm sorry, I apologize, but I didn't have a stopping place. Anything that makes you angry, anything rings on your parade, anything that pushes your button, anything that you're afraid of is attached to an idol. You fear you won't get it. You fear if you have it, you'll lose it. It makes you angry when you don't get it. And whatever you're afraid of is what the name of the idol is. Whatever makes you angry is what the name of the idol is. Whatever depresses you is what the name of the idol is. If you have fear of what's happening, I can tell you it's because you grew up not being protected, or your daddy left, or you were abandoned. And so you need to forgive him for that. You had to take care of yourself. Now I hear all this stuff going on and I don't know how to take care of myself. Lord, I forgive my mother and father for throwing me away, giving me away, betraying me. I had to be my own refuge. I couldn't trust nobody. Y'all be repenting with me. I couldn't trust anybody but myself. I became my own refuge. Lord, I just forgive my parents for controlling me, beating me in the head, hitting me in the head, slapping me in the head. I forgive them for verbal abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse. And God, it's made me afraid of what's going on today because I received a lie that you're just like my earthly parents that did not protect me or nurture me. And I just do forgive them. I thank you that you're just a true, wonderful God. In the name of Jesus, forgive me for fear. Forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for, Lord, I ask you to heal me of all these button pushers. I ask you to purify my heart in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for being terrorized about what's going on here in America. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for compromising with the darkness. God, would you please forgive me for walking with darkness when I should be a person that stands for righteousness? Forgive me for not being a person of integrity. Forgive me for compromise. Forgive me for double-mindedness. God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for legalism, thinking that I have to turn the potter's wheel. Lord, I just put my junky clay on your, agree with me, I put my junky clay on your potter's wheel, and Lord, you will fix me by your life flowing through me. Will push off the deadness and the sin and the corruption. And I thank you that I can't be perfect. You're perfect. And you, Lord, as I yield to you, you see me as perfect as you're perfect and holy as you're holy because I'm yielded. And I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. Forgive me for saying I'd do something and forgive me for having a fear of saying no. Forgive me for saying yes to everybody because I'm wanting approval. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. It's okay for me to say no. I break the power of the lie. I can't say no. Yes, you can. God has given you a will to say no to the demons and yes to the Lord. Forgive me for compromising. Being a slave of man, being double-minded. Forgive me for being a hypocrite. Forgive me for saying one thing and doing another. God, I ask you to forgive me for agreeing with the evil. Forgive me for being like Eli. Forgive me for being a trampled spring and a polluted well, caving in before the enemy. God, forgive me for being corrupted by my idolatry. Forgive me for being just like Eli, putting my family above you. God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for doubting your word. God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for being like Sapphira, agreeing when I shouldn't agree and not agreeing when I should agree. Lord, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for being a wimp, a coward. God, forgive me for being afraid of being the one world order, fear of what's coming. God, I thank you that the beast makes war with the harlot and devours her. And Lord, forgive me for spiritual adultery, being a harlot, making myself a friend of the world. God, I ask you to forgive me for being not being like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God, I ask you to put in me a desire and ability, pour your strength in me to stand in these days. God, forgive me for not being like Abigail. Forgive me for not being like Phinehas. Lord, I thank you that because of Phinehas, he could stay the plague of poverty, the plague of relationships, the plague of addictions. And Lord, I just ask you to remove your wrath from me and all the areas of idolatry in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for fearing making people mad, fear of rejection, fear of losing my mate, fear they'll leave, fear of losing my job, fear of divorce, fear of cowards, fear. Forgive me for fear of not being popular, fear I won't fit in, fear I'll be the bad guy, fear of confrontation. Forgive me for being a peacekeeper. Just don't get mad. I'll do anything you say. Forgive me for being that, Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me, oh Lord. Lord, I ask you to break the curse of the law of jealousy off of me that would cause my stomach to swell and my thigh to waste away. Forgive me for breaking covenant with you, willfully sinning. I stop now, Lord, by your grace. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for willful sin. Lord, forgive me for confusion. Forgive me for not being plucking up, pulling down, destroying, overflowing, building and planting. In the name of Jesus, I just break the power of every demon of a spiritual prostitution, spiritual adultery. I command the spirit of the camel, the wild camel and the wild ox, the wild ass to go in Jesus' name. Spirit that is looking for love in the wrong places, go. Spirits of defilement, I command you to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of building cisterns that wouldn't hold water, get out in Jesus' name. All guilt, all spirits that would cause us to be a prey has to go. Lord, we repent. We return. Lord, in Jesus' name, we return to you. Forgive us for not tearing down altars of false gods of people in our lives, Lord. Lord, we just praise you. We just bless you. Forgive me for not being light. Forgive me for letting people switch off my light. In Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for loving darkness instead of loving the light. God, forgive me for idolatry that's been a thorn in my side and pricks in my eyes in Jesus' name. God, forgive me for degenerating from the being generated, from degenerating into a fruitless vine. Oh, God, I reconnect to the true vine in Jesus' name. Now I command every demon power, fear, terror, unbelief, doubt, fear, all fear has to go now. All confusion, all double-minded. Mindedness, all in organization, go in Jesus' name. Fear of being controlled, go. I cut yokes off of every person's neck in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come under your yoke. It's light and easy. Lift your hands. Lord, you said that if I come to you and your burden is light and your load is easy, and I take your yoke upon my neck, and I thank you that you're my teacher, and I thank you that it's light and easy, and I'll find rest for my soul. I cut off headaches. I cut off yokes, and mother's yoke, daddy's yoke, wife's yoke, husband's yoke, off in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, we ask you to bless the food, bless our fellowship, bless this day. I pray that you download every speaker, that I will hear something and every message that will change my life in Jesus' name. Oh God, I want my life changed. Thank you, Lord. When you feel a release, bless, sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Fill me, Lord, with love, joy, peace. long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self control. And I command all fear of man, all demons of wanting approval of man, go now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Lord, from this day forward, we are going to be standing for righteousness in Jesus' name, regardless. Bless the Lord. Love you. Now go eat.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.